are listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on your Portland dial, KBOO.FM on your everywhere on earth internet dial. Stay safe, stay sane, stay tuned. KBOO, the best in community radio.
The time is 10 a.m. Next up is American Standoff with Jacqueline Keeler. You're on the air.
All right, great. So now I guess.
You're on the air.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you. So, hi, I'd like to welcome you to this new KBOO-FM Portland show called American Standoff. And I'm your host, Jacqueline Keeler. The show will is examining the current political divide in America from an Indigenous perspective, given by myself, a Native journalist based here in Oregon. And so today we're not just talking about the American standoff. We're also talking about Canada as well. And we're looking at the Canadian Freedom Convoy. And I'm going to try to pronounce it in French as well, Convoy de Liberté. I'm not fluent in French. You've probably seen coverage of this ongoing protest in Canada against COVID-19 vaccine requirements for truckers to re-enter the country by land, which was introduced by the Canadian government on January 15th of this year. And so these truckers have, you know, over 100 of them have been traveling from several points across Canada. And the convoy basically converged on the capital of Canada in Ottawa on January 29th, 2022. And they commenced a rally at Parliament Hill, and pedestrian protesters joined the truckers. And they have stated that they will not leave Ottawa until all COVID-19 restrictions and mandates are repealed. And so an additional protests have blockaded provincial capitals and border crossings with the U.S. And I should say that the so that includes the blockade is actually entering its fourth day on Ambassador Bridge, which links Detroit, Michigan, to Windsor, Ontario, and this route accounts for nearly a quarter of all goods traded with between the U.S. and Canada. So once again, I'm Jacqueline Keeler, and the show is American Standoff, and we are discussing, I think the title of the show is Trump, the Canadian truckers, and the Confederate flag. There were actually was actually a Confederate flag being waved at one of these events, these protests. I'd actually like to start the show with a sort of an introductory audio clip from All In with Chris Hayes and Ted Cruz actually had something to say about this as well. So we could roll that clip.
Last month in Canada, some truckers, a relatively small group of truckers given how many truckers there are in the country, began protesting new regulations by both the U.S. and Canada that required travelers crossing the border by land to be fully vaccinated. But as the New York Times explains, the movement has grown into a catch-all movement for a variety of anti-government causes, laying bare deep resentments with Canada's political right. Yesterday, the capital city of Ottawa declared a state of emergency due to ongoing protests that have essentially just taken over part of the city's downtown area.
For 10 days, it has been relentless. Horns, sirens, fireworks at all hours. A state of emergency won't stop that. Simply cut red tape at City Hall to get equipment faster.
It's like it comes and stops and starts, eh?
Yeah, and it's...
There it is.
It absolutely is impossible to ignore.
If American anti-vax politics helped fuel and outsource these protests, thirsty Republican politicians are certainly happy to capitalize on it now. Watch how eagerly Senator Ted Cruz tries to get himself next to those courageous Canadian truckers.
And let me say, the Canadian truckers are heroes. They are patriots, and they are marching for your freedom and for my freedom. They are those truck drivers that, God bless them, they're defending Canada, but they're defending America as well.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I just read the transcript, but I hadn't actually seen how thirsty he was in the actual shot. Sorry. But of course, Senator Cruz is not alone. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy tweeted his support for the truckers, while Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is selling a series of products on his campaign website saying truck yeah. Of course, you'll remember from his time in the White House that Donald Trump loves a big truck PR stunt. So last week, Trump invited the protesters to his new social media platform and called Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, whose government imposed the mandates, a quote, far left lunatic. Avi Lewis, a documentary filmmaker and professor at University of British Columbia, and he joins me now.
This is kind of our insurrection by air horn moment. I think it's part of the globalization of Trumpism, frankly. Huh. And we've seen, you know, that GoFundMe was the eighth largest GoFundMe in history. They raised $10 million in a little over 2 weeks. There's just no way there's that much money in Canada. So this is an expression of far-right populism and far-right organizing that goes far beyond our borders. That said, it is really important for whenever any of us get on American TV to disabuse you of your very necessary but inflated liberal romanticism for Canada.
That's the end of clip.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. So that clip from Chris Hayes actually addresses the Freedom Convoy, as they call it, of Canadian truckers. And also, you know, that huge GoFundMe, which the company actually shut down, $10 million, most of which they assume is coming from the United States to fund this convoy and this protest, demonstrates the way in which Trumpism hasn't died down like we'd hoped after the election of Biden a year later. In fact, it appears to be spreading. If you'd like to join us in this conversation, this is a live call-in show. You can call us here in the studio and join the conversation at 503-231-8187. This is American Standoff, and we are discussing Trump, the Canadian truckers, and even the Confederate flag they were flying. So if you'd like to, I mean, it's crazy that Canadians are flying a Confederate flag considering that's not even part of their history. You know, there are elements that are part of their history of, you know, racism and, you know, white supremacy, and, you know, by the establishment. And so, yeah, so please call in 503-231-8187. I'm Jacqueline Keelan. I'd love to hear from you and hear what you think about this and then how you feel when you see these things and you see the support coming from the Republican Party here in the United States and the American dollars going north to Canada to support this. And I'd also like to introduce myself in Navajo. I am a citizen of the Navajo Nation, the Yak-e. And my name is Jacqueline Keeler, Jacqueline Keeler, and Shia. And so, and the Navajo way, we introduce ourselves through our clans. And so, I'm also, my father was Yankton Sioux. And so, in our Dakota language, we call ourselves Yehonsawan Dakota. And in Navajo, Navajo people call themselves Diné, the Diné people. And so, so my clan is Kia'ani, and I am born for the Yankton Sioux people, the Yehonsawan Dakota people. And so Kia'ani means towering hope. And I'd also like to acknowledge what we now call Portland, Oregon, are the lands of the Multnomah, Wasco, Kathmamet, Clackamas, Cowlitz bands of Chinook, Tualatin, Kaiapuya, Malala, and many other tribes that, whose homelands we all live on, you know. And I don't really want to call them ancestral because I feel... You know, when I talk about this show, and I base a lot of the show on a lecture I gave at the Unitarian Church in Portland, called "America is Still a Colony," and so I do feel like we are. This is an active occupation of their lands, and not an erasure of their presence here. So, and the show really the origin of the story. And we actually launched the show on January 6th, a year after we all saw American. Go and storm the Capitol, and we want to discuss on the show in the years since, what have we learned? What do we know about this? And I think that we keep thinking that these things are going to go away, they're going to die down, and yet that is not the case. And so, so once again, today we are discussing the Canadian Freedom Convoy led by commercial truckers in Canada protesting COVID travel restrictions. And I should note that both Canada and the United States accommodated unvaccinated cross-border truckers with an exemption from the COVID-19 regulations implemented by both countries in the fall of 2021 to prevent supply chain disruptions. The exemptions for Canadian truckers ended on January 15th, 2022, and the United States Department of Homeland Security exemption ended a week later on January 22nd. The Canadian Trucking Alliance estimates that 85% of the 120,000 Canadian truck drivers are vaccinated against COVID-19. I think the number of trucks that are actually in this convoy is a little over 150. So you can see it's a small percentage of actual Canadian truckers are participating in this convoy. And so these mandates could possibly impact about 26,000 of the 160,000 drivers in the U.S. and Canada who regularly cross the border. And also trucking groups, industrial groups, have actually condemned the convoy. And the Canadian Trucking Alliance reported that a large number of protesters had no connection to trucking. On January 27th, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau said almost 90% of Canadians were vaccinated, as were many truckers in Canada, and that it's only a small fringe minority of people in the convoy who do not represent the views of Canadians. You know, in a debate at the House of Commons, Trudeau asserted the truckers' protests had to stop. So there's also been a lot of concern in Canada, both from politicians and media, that the organizers and groups involved with the protests have had involvement with far-right extremist groups, including those that promote violence. And so some have called for, some of these protesters have called for the federal government to be overthrown, right, in Canada. And they were also, it caused a lot of consternation in Canada when they basically desecrated the statue of a national hero, Terry Fox. He was a man who he was dying of cancer, and he did a walk across Canada, and he died in the midst of it to try to encourage funding to cure cancer. And And so this was sort of seen as the exact opposite. Here's someone who's looking for medical research and a medical response to a disease based on science. And here are these protesters who are opposed to COVID restrictions that would help, reduce the pandemic, the impact of the pandemic. They put a sign on him, on his statue. It looked like he was holding it. And people were very upset, and understandably so. They also desecrated the National War Memorial and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Protesters attacked several emergency vehicles with rocks, and an attempt was made to set fire to an apartment building. Yet, of course, our former President Trump has extolled the protests. And so let's play that audio. And also, trigger warning for those of you who cringe at hearing his voice. I'm sorry, but you could play the audio of Trump.
Truckers, you've been reading about it, who are resisting bravely these lawless mandates, are doing more to defend American freedom than our own leaders by far. And we want those great Canadian truckers to know that we are with them all the way. They are. They've really shown something. It's time to move on.
Okay, so you just heard from Trump. I think we have some callers.
Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Yeah, I think you're promoting the narrative that the narrative is going, and all of these things are untrue. Canadians are fighting for Canadians, and you're just obsessed with Trump. You're obsessed. You're just ranting on there and creating a false narrative.
Okay, so you support this convoy.
And you support freedom, and I know tons of people, not racist, all over Canada and the U.S., and they're not. This is about restrictions and government overreach. These people are being pegged on MSM, and no one wants to listen to alternative views at all, and no one's even, that I know, a Trump supporter. They do support it, and the truckers are representing the Canadian people.
Okay, and you yourself are a Canadian citizen.
I have lived in Canada. I went to a university there. I am friends with current Canadians that aren't allowed to go back to their country right now. And just hearing you spew this and cause division based on lies, it's sad that that's what you want to focus on.
But we are playing the actual audio clips of Republicans, Trump and
maybe Republicans, but this isn't even about Republicans and Democrats. It's about humanity and freedom and what's moral.
Okay, well, thank you for that that point of view, Mary.
Yeah,
thank you. And then we have another caller. Is Wade still on the line?
And cause division based on lies. It's sad.
Turn your radio down.
Hi, Wade. You're actually on air right now.
Why aren't you playing the clips of the truckers?
It's about humanity and freedom.
Wade, turn your radio down.
Okay. Well, thank you for that point of view. Hello, Wade.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, you're on air. You're on KBOO right now.
That's right. Hi. What's Trump got to do? What's Trump but an overblown emotion? How does he latch onto the... Okay, my wife is French. We watch French TV, and they report on things happening in Canada also. And I heard you say something about a flag, and I thought, I saw many flags, and then you said a Confederate flag later, so there may have been one, but I saw hundreds, dozens and dozens of Canadian flags. The people really support this. I should just state first that I'm vaccinated. I do wear a mask and respect other people's fears and or real concerns. And I hope you don't dump me in a bin called crazy lunatic Trump fan, because I happen to have simple, serious ideas, and many people do, even some scientists. I haven't had a vaccination in over 40 years. I've cut by sharp objects. I don't have lockjaw. I'm not telling other people what to do or not do. I'm simply saying that, yes, I wish you wouldn't. If Trump's trying to shoo his way, really his way in, why? And I really do appreciate that trigger warning, because I thought we were endless. Like foghorn, bullhorn.
Yeah. I keep his voice all the time on everything. Yeah, well, thank you, Wade. And,
I would like to echo Mary just a bit, though. And why don't you play some clips from some prominent people in the movement and people on the streets? I've heard them on this French TV. The other thing is just calling Justin Trudeau an ultra, leftist, or something like that. He is, like, so center. He's one of these people that talk left and act right, okay? But correct.
Trudeau, you mean? Or who?
Yes.
Yeah. We will be playing more clips in the show as well, so maybe you'll find those interesting.
Okay.
But thank you for giving the perspective of French Quebec. Thank you. Hello, Greg, you're on the line? Greg?
Yes, you can hear me?
Hi, you're on KBOO.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Well, I wanted to, congratulate you on the new show.
I really love
your, your voice.
Okay.
Remember that I called you when you were doing the other show and talked a little bit about your uncle's books?
Yes, yeah, my Brian DeLoria Jr., my grandma's cousin. Yep. Yeah, well, it's good to have you calling on this show as well. I was previously co-hosting once a month with Paul Rowland on his show, Wednesday Talk Radio, which I highly recommend listening to as well. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what do you think of this Canadian trucker freedom convoy?
Oh, it's nothing. It's a big deal. I guess certainly the right wing thing, we misnomer and call Trumpism is spreading, but it's interesting, that people want to have freedom, but they're willing to go unvaccinated and end up dying at the hospital. Sounds like a lot of these Canadian truckers are vaccinated. I gather they had to be to cross the border, but it's I just think it's another one of these freedom things, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It does seem like the vast majority of Canadians and Canadian truckers are vaccinated, 80 to 90%. So this is a small group, definitely a minority of the country that has refused to become vaccinated. So,
yeah. Hey, glad you're getting a couple calls today. A couple weeks ago when you were on, I was waiting for your show last week. I believe you put out a call that something about if listeners wanted to call and talk about race. And you didn't get a response, and I was busy that day. But
it was last week the studio was closed for repairs, so we didn't do a live show. One of the focuses of the show is to basically look at the role of white privilege and white supremacy in the sort of very far right extremism, and then sort of put it in the context of the colonial project in the United States and in Canada. I view Canada as also a colony that occupies indigenous lands. And what role does this history and sort of origin story play in the situation we face today? And I feel like we need some of this historical context to understand why are Americans reacting this way, white Americans voting for Trump, I quoted a poll that came out I think in early January on a previous show that showed that many Americans
believe even is growing. The number was the University of Massachusetts Amherst poll, which found that the Republican support for the January 6th attack and belief that the Biden was not the legitimate president has actually been growing over the past year. And so it's the majority Republican view what happened there is an act of patriotism. So it's quite concerning. And then of course we're seeing this in Canada as well. The Canadian filmmaker said on Chris Hayes' show, Americans sort of have this feeling that Canada is more progressive. But having spoken to First Nations people in Canada, I can tell you that's not their take. It's brutal. I mean, I married into a First Nations family. My mother-in-law family are from the Six Nations Reserve on the Grand River in Ontario. And, you know, I've learned quite quickly from their stories of how they've been treated, just how violent the government is against them, and even the Royal Mounted Police, you know, and I think that was actually sort of formed to commit violence against Indigenous people, that particular police force. So it's the history is different than what people understand here in the United States, and we're seeing this in the sort of growing right-wing support. And the support from the United States of $10 million, the eighth largest GoFundMe in the history of that site, is quite profound. Well, thank you so much. I have another caller.
I'd like to keep talking if I could.
So we have a caller. Gordon is waiting on the line to talk as well. So maybe you call back and we could talk at the end of it. I'm going to play another audio, which I think will be really interesting, and we could talk about that a bit too. So good to talk to you. Would you have anything else to add to your kind of, I guess, sort of take on what's going on? Greg?
Yeah. We have Gordon on the line.
Oh, Gordon. Oh, hi, Gordon. Hi, Gordon. This is Jacqueline Keeler, and you're on KBOO.
Hi. So I believe that this Canadian thing, this is a small, fringe, narcissistic, sociopathic group. You're talking about 300 to 400 semi-drivers representing the whole country of Canada. Are you kidding me? Most of the Canadian people are completely against what's going on. And they're with the semis, but they're okay with the vaccination. Most of the country has gone along with protecting society, not being selfish like a smoker that feels like they have to smoke in a room with all non-smokers. That's what we're talking about with some conservative or whoever it is that wants to walk into a room with no mask. It's just like having a smoker walk into a room with no smokers. It's just a selfish, narcissistic thing. And so you have a small representation of people, 300 semi-drivers. Oh, the world coming to the end, and then here comes Trump and all his crazy sociopaths and narcissists that jump on the bandwagon, and now they're going to blow this thing up to where it doesn't even matter. None of it even matters because 90% of the population is for what these people are against. So here's a small group of people that are taking advantage, just like 47 million people here in the United States are telling 300 million people what to do. These people, the conservatives, the right-wing establishment, the Trump supporters, are all mentally handicapped. They are all suffering from a mental diagnosis that hasn't been diagnosed yet, but they're all suffering from a mental handicap. And that's what we're dealing with now. Every single one of them. And I dare anybody to try to prove me wrong in that these people are just sheep following some loud-mouthed piper that's going to lead them off the cliff, because when the democracy is over, a dictator always steps in to rule, and that's why we have this small fringe group of people. They want to completely control everything. So this Canadian thing is all created by QAnon and Trump, and I believe QAnon and all this stuff was created by the multi-billions of dollars that Trump has. I believe he's behind all of it. just like the huge back and all this other stuff. So don't talk to their mom until that she has help and she can swim to the other side. Because if you get into a pool with a drowning person, with somebody that's got mental disability, they're going to drown.
Thank you, Gordon. Your connection is kind of fuzzy, so thank you so much. I heard your point that, and I will address some of the points you brought up. We have actually another caller, Harriet. Harriet, would you like to speak to this as well?
Yes. Thank you, Gordon. I wasn't able to hear the last caller because I was on hold, and I'm calling about the vaccination and the truckers. Just with a reminder that this, you know, most of us who are pro-vaccination and are concerned not only about our own health, but about the health of others. And the issue with truckers and with people who are crossing borders who are non-vaccinated is, are they increasing the risk of continuing to spread the pandemic by their actions? It's not that we're against people having, personal preference and being able to do what feels right for them, but when our individual choices are affecting other people and have, you know, increased risks for the general population, that's what the issue is. It's not about personal rights. It's about, does this really impact the health of the larger population?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Harriet. And yeah, I should note that the Canadian Trucking Alliance estimated 85% of the 120,000 Canadian truck drivers are already vaccinated against COVID-19. So we are talking about the vast majority. And Justin Trudeau on January 27th, the Prime Minister of Canada, said in a speech that 90% of Canadians were vaccinated. So it is a very small group of people. And also the convoy is estimated to be in size about 551 to 1,155 vehicles, which is kind of a big spread there, including about 121 to 230 trucks. And 430 to 925 personal vehicles, and the protests have been garnering an estimated between 3,000 to 18,000 people. So, and 23 people have been arrested, 4 charged, and about 1,300 fined, more than 1,300. So, so this, I think, you know, it's, as the previous caller was saying, and he was a bit, his connection wasn't very good, but he was saying that this is a small group of people. As I've noted before on the show, that, you know, I resist the idea of this being a mental illness because of people who hold far right views. I think that it's and particularly with Trumpism, because when you have 90% of white men with a high school diploma voting for Trump, 9 in 10, that is not a personal issue. To me, this is a structural issue, and the structure is white supremacy and colonialism, and this provides these outcomes and makes people who identify or who are identified by the society as white to be very vulnerable to these ideas. And then this is part of the destabilizing effect it has on democracy and on human rights in this country and other countries too. Violent, particularly violence towards people of color. Thank you, Harriet. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we have another caller on the line. Ron, are you still on the line?
Yeah, I'm still here. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I was calling in to actually make a statement, kind of like the last woman made.
Yeah.
However, if they start towing their trucks, I mean, we all have a right to protest. But that doesn't mean we have to. I mean, when we protest here in Portland, we don't drive our cars down the street. We walk down the street. That's a better idea of our numbers than for us to drive our cars down the street to make a protest. So if they had just towed their trucks away and tell these guys, look, you can come, but you can't bring your truck, I'm sure things would have gone much better. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Yeah, certainly. The question about the approach of how, you know, both the U.S. and Canadian, how the officials deal with white protesters, I think, particularly, you know, they're much more hands-off, much, you know, in my book that I wrote, Standoff, comparing the Ammon Bundy takeover of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge in 2016 to Standing Rock, what happened there, you can see a real difference in the approach of the county sheriff. You have the sheriff in North Dakota, you know, basically engaging in an all-out military assault on a reservation. And so it's quite a different handling of those things. I would like to thank our callers. Once again, this is American Standoff. It's a live talk radio show. So please do call in. And the number here is 503-231-8187. I am Jacqueline Keeler, your host. And please call in and let me know what you think about this Canadian Freedom Convoy and what it means. And are we seeing, the question is of the show today, are we seeing the spread of Trumpism across our northern border into Canada? And as we mentioned earlier, the GoFundMe that was going, the eighth largest GoFundMe in the history of that site was shut down, and they had raised already raised $10 million. And so, as we heard earlier, you know, this amount of fundraising is unheard of in Canada, and largely represents the contributions of Americans to this convoy. And I'd like to quote something from the New York Post, a very right-wing outlet. And of course, they were upset about this GoFundMe shutdown, and they proceeded to compare our Portland Black Lives Matter protests unfavorably to the Canadian truckers. And this is from the New York Post, not myself. As of Friday evening, when GoFundMe permanently shut the site down, there had been only 3 arrests, despite thousands protesting. And as of Sunday, police, so as I noted, that this is not necessarily accurate. So, they say that Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson's biggest complaint is the truckers are showing insensitivity by creating noise and turning it into a party. So we heard some of that audio of that noise, and it is quite disruptive to people's day, you know. Compare that with the mayhem and violence in Portland. This is the New York Post writing this, not myself. Oregon in 2020. Truth is, GoFundMe had no problem with that disorder. The site raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Portland General Defense Committee to defend rioters, that's their term, not mine, who set fire to police stations, vandalized City Hall, wielded weapons, and injured police officers. So, of course, you know, Portland has to come into this international issue, and I'd love to hear from callers what you think of this. I mean, this sort of, comparison, and of course the difference there is, of course, the response. As our previous caller noted, you know, they're not towing away these trucks, although I don't know exactly how you could tow a trucker if they didn't want to be towed. But also the level of violence at nonviolent protests like the Black Lives Matter movement is much more intense by the officials than it is towards white, these sort of far right protesters. And we saw that even here in Portland with the way Patriot Prayer leaders were treated versus how nonviolent Black Lives Matter leaders were treated by the police, by our own police. So, and there's lots of research and reports coming out on that as well. And then we have Laura Ingraham being quoted in the New Republic yesterday, an article titled "Fox News Can't Get Enough of Canada's Freedom-Loving Truckers." And I don't watch Fox News, and maybe some of you catch it, but apparently they've been going over this over and over and over again. And Ingraham, meanwhile, painted the convoy as the kind of protest movement that terrifies the political and media elite. And the regime media, she says, knows exactly what's happening in Canada, and it scares the heck out of them, she says. Now it's not because they think the truckers or the trucker supporters are terrorists. They know they're not, right? There's once again this assumption that, you know, what these folks, what white folks are doing is okay, you know, and unless they're marching in the streets for the rights of black and brown people of color and stuff. So the New Republic sort of adds a little aside saying Fox News's dedication to clarifying this point seems rather intense, right? And so I'm not going to continue with Laura Ingraham. I just can't stand her. So I'd also like to encourage you all to call into the studio if you want to be part of this conversation. We have about 20 minutes left on the show. The number is 503-231-8187. Let's see here. And I'm Jacqueline Keeler, your host. Let me see here. So I'd like to also quote, so we have some more callers. Dr. Freddie, are you on the line?
Yes, ma'am, I am. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Well, I'm great. I'm listening to the callers and the concerns. I live here in Portland. I was, my heart went out to the Black Lives Matter after George Floyd was killed so flagrantly, and the whole world saw it. I'm just saying, we have a lot of issues here in Portland. We don't need outsiders bringing any more garbage. We've got enough garbage homegrown right here, and we're trying to fight for equality and justice for all. It's a very, it seems like it's going one way only. And every time somebody says something about what's equal and right for everybody, black and brown and other people, all you get is pushback. Oh, we don't want to hear that. We don't want to talk about that. We want to talk about what? And so it's just really hard. I think you're doing a great job. I appreciate you and your loyalty to say and stand up for what you're saying, because I believe what you believe, that people need a right to be treated equally and with respect. And that's the only comment I'm making, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Freddie. Yeah, I know that, you know, having Portland being used as some kind of, I don't know, dog that the right-wing media kicks when they want to, the protests that people did on the streets out of an earnest desire for equality for everyone, is just, yeah, is ugly, and it plays in, and it basically adds fuel to the fire of these sorts of really reactionary forces in both the U.S. and Canada, obviously. And we have another caller. Oh, Greg is back on the line. Hello, Greg. Oh, wait, Greg, I haven't played the audio that I wanted to play to see what your reaction was yet. So let me hold off on that right now. Matthew Gertz, a senior fellow with Media Matters, he also shared a Fox News clip and tweeted yesterday, I haven't seen Fox News try to will a protest into existence with this much effort since the lead up to January 6th. And also with the blockade of these border crossings, as I mentioned earlier, today CNBC reported automakers cut production as Canadian truckers blocked deliveries across key border bridge to protest vaccine mandates. And so, as I mentioned earlier, the blockade on the Ambassador Bridge, where the border between Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, has been blocked, and it accounts for a quarter of the goods traded between the U.S. and Canada. And so General Motors, Ford, Toyota have been forced to cut production at several plants in the U.S. and Canada this week due to a lack of parts. And the White House has said that it's monitoring the program and very closely, according to Press Secretary Jen Psaki. And in addition to this, this is the other audio I wanted to play, we have Métis in Canada. And Métis is a French term which means mixed blood, so mixed of Native American or First Nations, as they say, they're Aboriginal, as they say in Canada, and generally speaking, French-Canadian or Scottish or other European ancestry. And so, and they have a the legitimate Métis groups have a very historic standing. They actually went to war against the Canadian government at one point. And so the Red River settlement there in Manitoba. And so, but there have grown in the past years a lot of fake Métis groups. And so this has been a big concern and reported on extensively in the Aboriginal press in Canada. So let's play that clip.
Pat King is one of the self-proclaimed leaders of the Freedom Convoy, and yesterday he participated in what looks like a pipe ceremony.
I have my medicine pouch that was given to me by Grandma Nancy's granddaughter, Grandma Great Clanmother Nancy Scanny, from our occupation at the Ledge Grounds in Edmonton. I have a protection pouch with some sage and some other things in here just to guard me from the evil spirits. And then I was gifted this, which is the grizzly bear. I was gifted this yesterday when I got my traditional ceremonial pipe.
But on Wednesday, three Algonquin First Nations sent out a press release. It condemned the Freedom Convoy and the ceremony which took place on their unceded territory. The head of one of these First Nations says what King and others are doing is nothing short of cultural appropriation.
This is no difference than some people just claiming to be Native, like Michelle Latimer. Pat King is just following the same footsteps as people who are just self-proclaiming and just saying, oh, I have Native ancestry. We hear that so much, and it's totally wrong for people to just assume and just say those statements because it's hurtful. No
one on Thursday, the Truckers Convoy held a press conference. Tamara Leach is another of its leaders.
Instead, they are using you, the media, to portray us as racists, misogynists, and even terrorists. As a woman with Métis heritage, a mother and a grandmother, I am offended.
Both King and Leach say the convoy movement has been misportrayed by both the media and Justin Trudeau's liberals. They insist it is both open-minded and tolerant. King claims to come from Ojibwe heritage and says he has strong ties to the Indigenous communities. But APN did ask him about racist flags flown earlier in the week.
Those are paid provocateurs probably put in here by Trudeau. So he does it all the time.
You're not, so they're not part of your...
No, never have been. We don't promote that, we don't stand by that, and we never will.
They say they won't leave the nation's capital until all vaccine mandates are lifted. Their numbers are expected to swell once again this coming weekend. Fraser Needham, AP10 National News, Ottawa.
So that was a clip from the reporting done by Canadian broadcaster, and in Canada, the First Nations folks have their own television network, a national television network called the Aboriginal People's Television Network, that employs, almost 100 Native journalists, which we have nothing like that here in the United States at all. I can tell you that as a Native journalist, and so they have incredible reporting, and I really suggest you check them out sometime. And I've been interviewed on there as well. This issue of these sort of fake Métis people claiming ancestry, and we don't know to what extent that's accurate or not, right? There has been a lot of reporting about fraud in these claims. The CBC has done research. It was mentioned about Michelle Latimer, who claimed to be a descendant and became one of the most prominent Native First Nations filmmakers in Canada. Turned out that she was misrepresenting her ancestry, and so she attempted to sue them but didn't have basis, because if you actually don't have Native ancestry, nobody's libeled you by saying you don't have it. So she didn't have a case. So there's this issue, and I should say both of the people who were participating in the convoy, the Métis identified people, self-identified people, they were both very blonde in the video, and not that that matters. I mean, Native people can be of any perceived race, right? We are citizens of nations, not a race per se. And so it's the actual recognized tribe there in Canada of that territory, the Algonquin tribe. Their leaders were very opposed to these people representing themselves as Native and conducting prayers on the convoy and stuff. So Greg, I wanted to get your comment about the last audio. I hope you were able to hear it.
I was, yes. Well, there's a lot of pretend Indians out there, as you guys say, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes fashionable at certain periods of time, and waxes and wanes.
Yeah.
I noticed that you said the dreaded race word when you just spoke here, and I kind of wanted to talk a bit about that in terms of what we call racism. To begin with, just wanted to, mention that I think it was last week, might have been the day before, might have been on Wednesday, I can't remember, but I'm looking for Dennis Bernstein's show, Flashpoints, and mm-hmm. said they had something on that was, one of these rap shows, which I don't like this particular music form. So the guys who were hosting the show were, like, greeting each other. And going through various little cute rhyming things. And one of the things they said was, I kid you not, they said it real quickly, and it was Eskimo, we'll leave a beep, is all I knows. and the beep was for, you know, a word that is commonly used to describe a sex worker.
Oh, my God.
So this was on the beginning of this show that I'm describing, that they played at either 9 or 10 o'clock on Wednesday, the rap show. So I just wanted to, you know, alert you to that. And, you know, it was...
I'm sad to hear. I know Dennis, and I was actually on his show, I think just last week or the week before, discussing...
This is not Dennis's show. This is the show that's a rap show.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's a cable show. You know, I'm assuming it's local. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I was just
hoping that, you know, Dennis's show was going to be on. This might have been the 10 o'clock time slot. Dennis Bernstein at Flashpoints would never do anything like this.
Yeah, I didn't think he would. He was unable to sleep them at that moment. Yeah.
As I'm sure you're aware, he talks to, you know, various people, including Bill Means, you know, frequently.
Dennis has been really, I actually started my my career as a journalist in San Francisco, and I used to do little short takes on my op-eds that I wrote for the San Francisco Examiner at the time for KPFA in Berkeley. And So that's kind of where I got started. So I know a lot of the folks there and really respect their work a lot. And Dennis had me on there about a week and a half ago, talking about the Washington football team and their new name, the Washington Commanders, because I had worked on the Not Your Mascot issue. And
I was just going to bring that up.
Yes, yeah. So I guess maybe I don't know if I should address in the show, but you know, our the nation's capital has had a racist. And I should note that Eskimo is also considered a racist term. They're called Inuit or Inupiaq, and the R word that was used for, you know, almost 100 years in the nation's capital to describe the football team, and many of our elected officials in Congress, you know, attended those games, and it's just I got active in the issue in 2013, and sort of a latecomer, because of course folks like Suzanne Harjo, she's a Muskogee Creek leader, elder, had been at this since the 70s, and she had actually launched two lawsuits, trademark lawsuits, challenge the trademark, and so it was momentous when they dropped it and became just the Washington football team, and now when they're the Washington Commanders, which I don't really the whole military sort of focus is sort of, I guess, suitable for that this country, but not great, obviously, and of course I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, and in Lakewood, and my parents met there as part of the relocation program, which was a federal program, basically to terminate part of a termination of tribes that was going on in the 1950s, and it certainly hit Oregon quite hard. A lot of the tribes here were terminated, and it was supported by a former, I think, governor of Oregon who became, and so they were also relocating young Native people between the ages of 18 and 30 to these relocation urban sites, and Cleveland was one of them. So there were about 20,000 young Native people that went through that program in Cleveland over the years, and they began organizing against the Cleveland Chief Wahoo mascot, and so my parents were part of that generation, and it was great to see that dropped as well and become the Cleveland Guardians, and I had led protests at Nike trying to get them to stop selling the Chief Wahoo and other offensive Native mascots. And of course, they refused. Their response when we protested at the world headquarters in Beaverton in 2014, their response was that as long as the community of Cleveland was okay with it, they were okay with it. And my response was, you know, if a community in the United States decided that it was okay to have Sambo as their mascot, there's no way Nike would put their swoosh next to that grotesque stereotype, right? But they were willing to do that with Chief Wahoo. And so I think it shows the ways in which Native people are so marginalized and not recognized in this country. And so I hope that will change, and getting rid of these stereotypes will help get rid of promoting them. And of course, we still have many high schools that have this, and we still have national franchises like the Blackhawks, the NHL Blackhawks in Chicago, the Kansas City Chiefs, the you know, and also the Atlanta Braves, which we definitely want to have them change as well. And so, but it's still a process. And of course, we have the change here in Portland of the Winter Hawks. So that was a good thing. So it's been a good year, a couple of years on that front. So, well, thank you, Greg. I think we got 5 minutes left. I'd like to encourage people to call in if you want to address this as we're signing off here. If you have anything else you'd like to add to the conversation about this issue. We've been spending the hour talking about, we actually do have a caller. Susanna, are you still online?
I am.
Great.
So I want to comment on the bas reliefs in front of the Salem, our Oregon State Capitol. Do you know what I mean?
No. Can you describe it?
So they're very large. There's two of them, side by side, outside, bracketing the main steps into the main doors of our state capitol. And one of them has a white man on a horse being led by a Native American, and underneath it says something about going on, bringing empire to the setting sun or something like that.
Seriously? Wow.
And then on the right side, there's a man on a horse and a woman. I don't think there's a Native American on that one, but I think the woman is crouched down, so she's lower than the horse, and there's a child. That's just really, to me, sexist of when you look at who's dominant in it and stuff. But, yeah, they both, and I forgot the caption under that one, but they're both really gross. And I would love to see for Columbus Day some comedic something held out there to show how gross they are and bring attention to them. I'm not sure about taking down statues. I think that they should just be a whole plaque underneath about why it's so gross.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I would definitely, I wasn't aware of that. I think that's really shocking.
You know,
I know.
Yeah. Everybody walks by it that goes into the Capitol. I haven't found anybody yet who was repelled like me, who's noticed it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll definitely look into that. That's a really great point. And yeah, I would love to see. I mean, I'm fine with racist statues being taken down, frankly, because I think that there are so many of them that and education.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like that's whether to take them down or to have a whole other narrative. It's you know, who knows, but I don't want to get into that discussion because I think taking them down has brought a lot of attention to how many we have.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to address them all, especially because so many of them were put up. You know, by organizations like the Confederate the Daughters of the Confederacy, right? And they made a mission of putting all those things up all over the country, and you know, about 100 years ago, and so they were very successful at rewriting that history and extolling their own ancestors and their fight for slavery. So it's that's where I'm saying it's a structural imbalance, and that these sort of symbols are not just randomly there, right? They're there because of the social structure of colonialism and oppression. And so it's just not like happenstance that we happen to have so many of them, right? So I think it's fine with taking them down. I mean, I know in Cleveland, I went to the museum there and I went to the museum there, and they had an old Chief Wahoo sign. It was a big, I guess it used to be up. It was light up signs. And I went to go look. I had a little educational plaque that they had worked with the Native community in Cleveland to write. It was still so grotesque, so horrific to see even that setting.
Right. Yeah.
So it was just, and of course at the time when I was at the museum, they still were using, Chief Wahoo for the team. You know, it was still actually an active mascot. And, I think I was there. So, but it was, I don't know how much you can educate about hate, right? Without actually sort of, I think sometimes these symbols are so powerful that, one of the reasons I think that why white
privilege and white supremacy are so difficult to eradicate when it's still kind of an unassumed assumption in so much of society, the way society is organized, because even if people aren't being overtly taught racism, right, they see the way in which the system makes people of color poor, they criminalize them, and then they sort of intuitively begin to think about that's actually, they deserve that, right? They're just inferior. That's why, you know, white people are so law-abiding, right, and so perfect, and then everyone else is just a problem. And so the system...
We have to wrap it up.
Okay, so yes, I have to wrap up. I got the note. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you. So,